So it's just going to be a special guest today. It was Taiki is coming on. Unfortunately, it's just me. Keyboard Monkey has started the space, but is too much of a degenerate gambler during these markets to trade. And OSF is at a wedding in Dublin. So it'll be kind of a one-on-one interview today. I will just start with our sponsor for today. It's Rollbit. As you probably know, one of the most well-known crypto casinos out there. We can trade futures on there, which we trade a lot, me and KBM in particular. You can you can do lending or borrowing at least against your assets. You can get 0% loans on things like Bored Apes or CryptoPunks. They have an NFT marketplace, and they have their own NFT, which is the robot, which you get a percentage of rake depending on what you own. And I think I've given away tens of millions of funds to those NFTs over the course of them being in existence. So quite a good show today. We're going to have Taiki, who I've been following for a while in the DeFi space. It feels like a good day to kind of talk about crypto for a while. Things have been moving pretty wildly for the last few hours. Bitcoin obviously is smashed through 30K. ETH looks like it could be heading towards 2K. And a bunch of different altcoins, even in the DeFi space, are up quite a lot. And Taiki is someone who I've been following since I first got into crypto. He has over 100K followers on YouTube, probably about 60 on Twitter, but pretty well followed person in the space. Kind of takes it from first principles, and I thought it'd be good to speak to him, given that I've been following him, and I think a lot of people are interested in DeFi in the space, at least how to get involved in the smartest way possible. So I don't know if you're managing it, Jazz, but should we bring on Taiki to the screen?
Hello.
I think people can hear you now. Okay. It was to do with how we were set up. We'll just recash it for people that weren't on the live stream. But like days like today, it just feels like sentiment swinged like absolutely wildly over the last 3 days, right? Like you said, a week ago, people were DMing me saying like, DMing you saying they're going to quit. And for me, we had this show last week with Trader SZ, and he was saying, you know, Bitcoin's going 18K. like 100% certain that was going to happen based on the charts. So, and KVM, I have to say, agreed with him. So it was kind of funny to see how much this has reversed over the last few hours even. This whole Bitcoin ETF stuff, it feels like it's more just like crypto's not dead in the US. And I know a week ago, it felt like a lot of people probably sold it and bought a bunch of AI stocks. And if you did that, you'd be absolutely fucking crushed.
Like the timing is pretty interesting, right? Like a couple weeks ago, like this SEC goes after the existing players in the space. And within the next, in the last 2 weeks, we've seen a bunch of these traditional finance players come in with, you know, BlackRock coming with the ETF. And all these structured products. And I think if you're a crypto native, I think there's reasons to not be a fan of, you know, like TradFi players getting in. But I think from like the SEC's perspective, like maybe their goal was to just, you know, give Coinbase a slap on the wrist, maybe, you know, try to, you know, attack Binance, like weaken their power, and then have the existing, you know, players like with like more trusted brand names come in, you know, with better surveillance and whatnot. Ultimately, like I'm like fully on chain, and it doesn't really affect me directly, I guess. I guess the price of Bitcoin and ETH going up is, you know, is good for everyone. And I think it, you know, makes the case for DeFi a lot stronger in the coming weeks and months. So I guess I'm like just more trying to figure out, okay, given, you know, the shift in sentiment, given the change in fundamentals, potential new inflows coming in, especially ahead of the halving, like, you know, like where's the money going to flow on chain? Because it's all about liquidity, right? And I guess you know, in 2021, I played all these like layer one rotations and like farming various things. And admittedly, like recently DeFi for the past year or so hasn't been that great aside from like a few plays. So hopefully more money can come back. Stablecoin yields on chain can compete with like, you know, the risk-free rate and, you know, just try to farm away and, you know, just try to remain interested in the space for a while.
So maybe let's get into like how you first got into the space. I was following you just for like your, I think maybe when Matic started blowing up as like an ecosystem, L2,
But I know you were kind of trading before that, and I think you probably started with a small amount and you kind of built it up over time, and you're now, you kind of do this full time, right? So I think it's interesting to see how you like approached it. What I like about your analysis as well is that like you kind of know what's a Ponzi, and like maybe it's all a Ponzi, and you work out how to trade the Ponzi the right way, so, or like how you can shield yourself from the Ponzi in the right way. So yeah, maybe we'll get into how you first got into it, what you were doing before, and what you've been doing over the last 12 months.
Yeah, so I guess going back to like 2019, I graduated college, and I was working a job, and then I got laid off with COVID. And then I was kind of sitting at home, not knowing what to do. And I was always like a big poker player. So, I paid for like expenses during college of poker earnings. So I decided to like just do full-time poker in 2020. And then as I'm online all the time, I joined these poker discords, and then all these poker people were super into crypto. And then I was kind of funneling all my poker profits into, Bitcoin and Ether. And I think initially I was kind of like a decentralization maxi. And I guess in a sense I am still, but, when DeFi really started going crazy, DeFi summer in Q4 of 2020, I started to dabble on chain, and I got wrecked in gas fees. I was like getting destroyed. I was like buying farm tokens, paying like $60 in gas, cause I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And then I think Q1 of 2021, I think Binance Smart Chain went crazy. But I missed out entirely because I was like, oh, this thing is too damn centralized. Like, I don't want to support CZ, like whatever. And then I was like, after missing out and all my friends made money, I was like, okay, like the next centralized chain with cheap fees, I'm going to just ape into that. And that's, I think, when you discovered me with Polygon. And they had like the incentive programs. And of course, in 2023, it's like, yeah, these incentive programs probably not going to work. Teams have to be a lot more careful when it comes to distributing tokens. But at the time, like, Matic farms were like insane. We had a double peak, right? We put like a higher high in like November 2021. But I think Q1, Q2 of like 2021 was like the most fun I've ever had with all the Matic farming. Like they were all like Ponzi's, right? It's like they had all these like Goose Finance forks where you deposit like USDC and then the platform takes like a 4% fee, right? And they take the fee to buy back like the farm token. And then all I was doing was I like just was going through all this new smart contracts, deposited a bunch of USDC, took the 4% hit, and then I just like farmed and dumped the token for like 2 weeks. And then I rotated that to Matic, and then a bunch of things happened. We had Iron Finance, that was crazy. And then Dino Swap, that was also fun. They were all like literally.
Iron Finance, yeah. Look, I think maybe let's make it a little more simple to our audience because maybe they're not even
deeper
as well. No, but it's more than fair. I think like when you talk about things like farming, farm tokens, all this sort of stuff, like I think this comes up a lot in DeFi and people maybe not even aware like what this works, but maybe generally how it works, like farm tokens is basically your incentives to kind of put your money into a protocol and like you said, that can also lead to a lot of different rugs. So maybe go into like your first principles of how you even look at DeFi.
Yeah, I think in 2021 or just generally like in a bull market, like money is just like flowing so fast. To be honest, like no one really knew what the hell was going on. A new project launches and TVL goes up, right? Like more money in the protocol, it makes the platform look better, I guess. So like the token pumps. But ultimately, if something is just, like inflating and there's like no like fee capture and whatnot, it's just going to go to zero. And that's, at the end of the day, like farming for most protocols, it's like just get in early, like farm the token, don't get rugged, and then just like dump the token as close to the top as possible. And then, like the devs, right, like they implement all these Ponzinomics. If you lock the token, you get like more yield, or we're going to buy back every like third day or something. These devs can develop like different mechanics and whatnot to like try to make the token go higher. But at the end of the day, I think people are smart enough now where it's like, yeah, like if the protocol isn't making money, then the token's just going to go down. And I guess like the only sustainable forms of farming right now, unfortunately, is things like, I think LP, right, like providing liquidity, whether either on things like Curve, Uniswap, or even like perpetual DEXs like GMX, because the yield comes directly from like the swap fees. It's a lot more complicated. And even myself, like I wouldn't say that I'm like an LP expert. I know how to use MEV3. I know how to, you know, provide liquidity for all the DEXs and whatnot. But you know, it's definitely more for the sophisticated players, and it's not even clear if the sophisticated players are even making money using things like MEV3. So you know, it's become a lot competitive, and the fees have really dried up. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, DeFi tokens have gone down only, and generally like the sentiment in DeFi is like not so great. And I think, you know, people kind of like compare, or they kind of look at token price, and if it's going down, it's like, oh yeah, like it's a bad protocol. Like obviously it's not, right? Like the devs are building, like, you know, like the quote unquote, like devs are doing something. But unfortunately, unless like more money comes into the space, you know, farming might not come back, at least in the short term. But I think, you know, devs get smarter, people get smarter. And I think over time, like tokenomic structures are going to get better. And then I hope for a day where, you know, like Bitcoin and Ether prices go up, maybe, you know, Polygon with the ZK EVM, they incentivize activity. Like there's another L2 launching called Mantle. They might incentivize some liquidity. So maybe we can run it back again with like the liquidity mining programs.
But these liquidity mining programs, maybe it's also how you trade those. Because I think this, what you said there was important, because this is basically what happens. Some new chain spins up, or L2 spins up. Some DeFi protocol on that chain spins up and basically pays you their farming token to kind of put your money into that protocol in some way or another. You're a big believer of just getting out of that token, right? You never hold onto anything. Or at least, is there a way that you kind of trade that token, that the reward token, maybe go into that? Because I think you had some smart strategies there. And then we'll get into like what you actually think it is, could last, things like DYDX, because I think it's important to think of things like GMX, DYDX at the moment.
Yeah, like for farm tokens, I generally just dump them unless I think, you know, it has some future. I mean, there's arguments of like farming something to accumulate. But, you know, if you're farming it, then chances are hundreds of other people are farming it. And the age old question is like, would I rather hold this thing or would I rather like hold Ether, right? And stake it or something. So, you know, like, for example, like I was like farming AVAX. And today I just like dumped it for ETH because I was like, I don't want this farm token. Nothing against AVAX. You know, like Avalanche Rush in 2021 was like super fun. But, you know, whenever like ETH gas fees are super low, there's like not that much demand to, you know, there's not that much demand to like use cheaper chains. And if layer twos are gaining more prominence and, you know, it has like a better user experience, then I guess like now people are questioning the value of these alt ones. So, you know, it's more thinking about, okay, like I'm farming this. Well, if I'm farming this, everyone else is farming this. So like, why would anyone buy this thing? And like, why wouldn't other people sell it? And then in that scenario, you're like just better off like selling it into Ether. If there's like a catalyst for a project, you know, like there's merits to like holding onto it and then maybe sell at a higher price. But you know, people always say like, you know, altcoins bleed back to Ether and whatnot. And that's generally true. There are like some edge cases where, you know, some altcoins can outperform. But you know, just thinking about, okay, like why would I want, like, I mean, yeah, it's like the simplest answer is like, why would I want to hold this token over Ether, right? And then you can kind of make the decision on whether to dump it or not.
I think that's one of the main problems people do when they first come into DeFi, right? They put their assets, their good assets, stablecoins, ETH, Bitcoin maybe, or wrapped Bitcoin, into some sort of protocol, and they get some shiny new token ahead of it, and then they basically bag bias with that token and hold on to it, or they put it into another farm trying to keep hold of it, when actually the best thing is just to continually get out of it, because at the end of it, that token will probably go to zero. Mm-hmm. And that pays, the whole point in you doing it, whole point in you doing this yield basically goes to zero, and you are, all you're doing there is like smart contract risk or like rug risk for your good assets. So I think that was one thing like I think a lot of people forget in DeFi, because often there's like juicy ways for you to make money on that farm token. Maybe it's got like 100% staking or something crazy. And a lot of people make errors that way. I think you kind of avoided a lot of the DeFi 2.0 rugs, things like Ohm and Time and that sort of stuff, right? But
I'm not sure if that's a good thing because like I missed out on like the run up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There are special Ponzi's, and that one I think was pretty obvious. But yeah, but then you kind of got involved in, like you said, I think a lot of the L1 tokens right now are essentially DAO tokens, right? And it's very difficult to work out how the value then gets transferred back to like the investors in the protocol, to the liquidity providers. You get, I don't know, you get Uniswap token, or you get some Curve token, or you get some reward token, where it's very difficult to work out how that value is actually going to continue to accrue, because the DAO funds you can't exactly distribute them in the same way. But it feels like this new move, which is per platforms where you get your rewards in ETH, seem to be an interesting development for DeFi and something that I think could last. Like, so maybe we'll get into that and maybe go into kind of, I know you're big into like things like GMX, so maybe some other things that you've seen interesting in that space recently.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want me to just talk about just like
how it works basically? I don't think many people are kind of aware of it and like what your strategies are at the moment, because I think that's kind of what you're doing right now, right?
Yeah. And yeah, like I mentioned, and I talked about this on like my YouTube and like socials as well, but like I feel like the only farms that I feel comfortable like recommending to my audience is like LPing, whether it be on like, you know, Curve Finance or like these per platforms. I guess I'll talk about GMX, but you know, GMX has this product called GLP, which contains roughly, you know, 50% crypto coins like Bitcoin, Ether, and then 50% stable coins. And then, you know, people that use the platform, like traders that trade on leverage, they essentially use liquidity within like this, you know, GLP pool. And if traders lose money, then, you know, those losses go to the GLP pool. So, you know, the LPs make money. And if traders win, then value comes out of, you know, the GLP pool. So, you know, you might lose some value there. And then GLP, like GMX, charges like pretty exorbitant fees, which is like why like I don't really use the platform, but I mean, I guess other people do it. But you know, like all the, you know, there's like a 0.1% fee to close and open a position, and then they also pay a funding rate, and that gets distributed to you know, the people that provide liquidity, but also like the GMX stakers. So I think this week, if you stake GMX, you're being paid 13% in Ether, which is like, you know, quote unquote real yield. And ultimately, I think most DeFi tokens want to go this route. I think if you're like a US-based team like Uniswap, there's reasons to be cautious. But GMX, because the entire team is Anon, they're able to say, you know what, like Square or security, and we're going to just, you know, just give GMX stakers fees. And, you know, I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, I expect GMX to do well, right? Like relative to other DeFi coins, maybe with like the, maybe once like, you know, regulatory uncertainty clears up, you know, more protocols can introduce revenue share. And, you know, people often talk about tokens like Lido, right? I think that people love that token. And, you know, I mean, Lido does make money, but like it doesn't really pay anything, right? Where like people are holding it, hoping that one day it pays. Or, I mean, people are like traders and they're like just hoping that, you know, people like buy into like staking tokens or something. So that's kind of how the platform works. And I guess like one issue with a GMX that people have is that it's like an Oracle-based exchange. So it kind of relies on, you know, price discovery happening on Binance and other centralized exchanges. So it's never going to be like the most liquid place to trade. Ultimately, like, you know, ideally, like, you know, they innovate from that. And there's like a bunch of GMX forks that kind of fragment liquidity. And, you know, traders are like, you know, using other platforms. And if you want to talk about like farm tokens, right, it's like other platforms are like paying people to trade just so that the metrics look better. So I think also like you can't just look at the fees and the volume. You also have to think about like who is trading, right? It's like if people are putting in like $1 million worth of volume, like, but like they're being paid like $1,000 to trade, then, you know, like that's not real. Like that's not like real volume, right? So maybe like that token has zero value or like less value. But I guess like that's the problem with a bunch of DeFi tokens right now. It's like, would people use these platforms without a token? And do these platforms even need a token? I think, you know, tokens are required if you're trying to decentralize in the future. And like the more, even like things like Uniswap, right? It's like, is it really a DAO? Because most of the tokens are held by VCs and team and like university, like crypto groups. But I just think that we're still quote unquote early into like where governance tokens are going. And I don't think it makes sense to like get too bearish these DeFi tokens, even if like they're going to underperform in the short to medium term.
Yeah, it's an interesting point though. Like, do you think DeFi just, we don't have more governance tokens going forward? Like GMX operates pretty well without it and seems to be dominating that. From where I can see, there are some other protocols which have like they basically are trying to farm a GMX style product, but it does feel like DeFi could go the route of just not really having a token, kind of similar to how Uniswap has. I know it has a token, but when you're just LPing, you're just making, you know, both sides of the pair.
Yeah, I think the cool thing about like governance tokens, I guess we can talk about like if it's needed and whatnot, but I guess like it's like a really good way to bootstrap liquidity, right? It's like for example, like if Facebook back in like when they first launched, like paid you like Facebook tokens to like create an account, to, like refer people, then I'm sure that it would have grown like much faster, right? Of course, there's like the security like implications and whatnot, but I guess DeFi is more of like the Wild Wild West. And I guess like this is happening in like NFT land as well, right? It's like Blur is like giving like imaginary APRs to like all the farmers. No one really knows like how many tokens they're going to get, but it's like, okay, like if I'm going to trade NFTs, I might as well do it on Blur because maybe I'll get like, you know, like 30 cents per trade or something. And I think, you know, these protocols are becoming much better at distributing tokens. I think in the past couple of years, like literally like, you know, deposit Ether and then we'll give you like 50% APR, right? Which is like totally ridiculous. But now I think a bunch of projects are like, deposit Ether and we'll give you points. And then maybe one day these points will equal tokens, but like they'll never tell you, right? And I think right now, maybe like the next meta is like this imaginary APR. It's like, you know, like every day I get like 100 points. Like I have no idea what that means, but hey, like I'm going to keep stacking these points. And then I feel like people are going to feel like they're going to, like they got rugged like 6 months from now when their million points equals like $10 or something. But I think these tokens are like good like bootstrapping mechanisms for like TVL and liquidity, and I guess like paying people to use it. And I guess like ultimately, like, you know, if people don't use the product without a token or you know, without being a paid token, then like that thing has no value. But I think people are just experimenting. I think like the Ponzi's of the last couple of years aren't going to work anymore, and I think like anything that like goes crazy in the next couple of years are going to be like totally new mechanics that really like capture people's imaginations, that like really sell the dream. I mean, ideally, like, you know, like we have tokens with like real value that pumps a lot. And then like, you know, as Dejan Spartan says, right, it's like his counterparty is like TradFi that's going to like sell, like buy his Lido tokens or something. Like ideally like that happens, right? And like some like fundamental analysis like leads to gains. But I guess, you never done crypto, right? It's like this online casino where people can like launch tokens infinitely, like infinite amount of times, and people will gamble like what they want to do. But I try to focus on like the more fundamental stuff because, you know, like I don't have problems like holding on to tokens if I think they're going to go up at some point in the future.
So I think, by the way, I forgot to give the code at the start. I see the comments going wild about that code.
It's not your fault. You were let down by your co-host.
Dude, fucking managing risk while doing that as well. let me just get it. But give me 2 minutes. I wanted to maybe to just touch upon, now we have this landscape, right? There's been some big issues over the last 12 months. A lot of people have been wrecked in different DeFi things. And I think it's fair to say that now the landscape, you maybe have a better concept of what is going to work and like what fucking Ponzi's are obvious at the start. Like for someone who's starting in DeFi right now, what are like the top 3 to 5 things you think they should be doing to like get smart on the space, or like what they should be looking at first? And like what are also like the main mistakes you tend to find from people? Because I know you manage like a whole community, like a whole Discord community, right, of people in the space, like the people who join that chat maybe the first time or get involved. What are the main things you see them doing wrong?
Yeah, and by the way, like, you know, like I'm not really like I don't consider myself to be like a pro by any means. Like I get wrecked all the time. And like I've made so many mistakes along the way, and I think the best form of learning is by fucking up, right? It's like one thing to read like some random Twitter thread about like, oh, like, you know, don't make these mistakes, like, you know, 10 ways not to get wrecked or something. But like, it's another whole thing to like buy something and like have it go down like 90% in like 2 days. And it's like, oh, like, God, like fucking shit. Like, I'm never doing that again. And I think the best way to learn is like to literally like use the chain, right? And just like figure out like, okay, like, what, like how the hell does Curve work? How the hell does Uniswap work? How the hell does GMX work? Let me try putting like $100 here and there, you know, like, kind of consider that like to be like your own tuition. And, you know, like, I think the best way to learn is by, you know, just like trying. It's like poker. It's like, you know, people ask me to play poker with like play money, but like, I don't like doing that because it doesn't really feel real. You can only like feel like your mistakes and like learning lessons if like it like translates to like money made or money lost. So no, I think the best way to learn is like maybe like Ethereum mainnet's too expensive, right? So I would check out like L2s like Arbitrum or Optimism. Optimism has like liquidity mining rewards. Like if you go to yearn.finance and you go to Optimism, like it's kind of boring, but like they have like this Aave strategy where like you deposit USDC and they kind of like lever it. So like it pays you like 1%, which is like super lame. But like the Optimism token, right? The foundation gave them tokens. So like if you stake USDC or Tether, you're being paid like 7%. So I mean, it's not like it's kind of, yeah, like I said, it's kind of lame, but you know, there are like various like farms out there that does pay a decent yield. So I think just like trying token or, you know, just like trying farms and then maybe you spot like a new launch that happens. It's like a brand new token. It's exciting. The devs are saying that they're going to, you know, make everyone rich. Like their roadmap looks amazing, right? Out in 2025, maybe you buy some of that token and like you feel the pain when it like goes down after all the farmers dump it on like your face. And then you're like, okay, like I'm not buying stuff like this again. And sometimes it's like fine to buy stuff, right? It's like I've purchased farm tokens before because I knew like sometimes like you kind of have this gut feeling. It's like, oh, like this thing is going to pump at least once. So I like just buy it and then I sell it like 2 days later. And then I like just rotate it into either. I feel like the markets are really hard right now. It's like super PvP still, despite the majors pumping like, you know, in the past couple of days. And I think the best assumption to make right now is to just assume that everyone left on chain is like, it knows what they're doing, right? It's like, they're not like newbies. They've probably like, had MetaMask for like at least a year, you know, like at this point. So if you're trying to like trade coins in the short term, like on chain, it's like, what do I know that these people don't know, right? It's like, why are they going to buy this higher or something? Or like, you know, what's going to like be the catalyst for the next, I guess, 2x? And I think a simple question to ask yourself sometimes is like, let's say, you know, like a token's trading at like $2 and you think that it's going to go to $10 or something, right? It's like, oh, it's like a 5x opportunity. But then, you know, you do like the second order thinking of like, okay, like if people think that it's going to go to $10, like, are they really going to buy at like $8 or $7? Maybe they're only going to be willing to buy up to $5 because 5 to 10 is a 2x and then people want a 2x. So like maybe like the best time to sell it is like at $5, even if your price target is like $10. And then, you know, it's kind of like this, you know, like this game theory element of like, and I mean, this only applies to like, you know, tokens without like a real value, right? It's like no one's really doing this for like either. I mean, I guess people do it for like majors too, but for like the larger caps, I don't think people think like this. It's more like the new launches and whatnot. So yeah, just understand that, you know, everyone left on chain is very sophisticated. So just don't, I don't know, like
don't believe bullshit,
I guess.
Yeah.
Just like, and for me, like I don't even like trade that often anymore. I just like buy and hold tokens for like a few months and like see if like my idea is right, like my thesis is right, and then if I'm wrong, it's like, okay, like I'll take the loss.
Yeah, I'm just going to give the first code for the day because we have it for the robot spins, but it's Taiki9571. Taiki9571. Nice. That's for anyone seeing the robot spins. Maybe we'll go over the last like few months, last 12 months then. So what are the stuff that you managed to avoid? Do you have any war stories of the last 12 months? And
war stories? I mean, I guess... So I kind of drink the Luna Kool-Aid like in 2021.
Oh, did you?
I think a lot of people did. Right? I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
And I think like when it started depegging, I knew it was kind of over. So like I was able to get out. But I think, you know, it like sucks because I have like a YouTube channel and, you know, I talked about like anger and stuff. And then I just like felt really bad. So I think like once you have like an audience, you have to like think really hard about like what types of things to talk about. And admittedly, like there's a lot of things I regret about like 2021 and stuff. So I've tried to, be more humble, I guess, in terms of like the content I put out. Maybe it's like less exciting, but I guess like that's the state of the market, I suppose. I don't really use centralized exchanges, so like I wasn't really like affected by the FTX thing. Of course, all my tokens went to Hades down, so I was very sad. But I guess I didn't really lose like the unit of coins. So I guess like that was okay. And I'm like generally super optimistic and like I believe in the tech, I suppose. So I'm like generally long most of the time. Sometimes I hedge by like shorting things like AVAX, like I mentioned earlier, but
that's like very selective.
Yeah, I'm not like an AVAX hater. I'm just
waiting
like,
on that one, huh?
I'll short that thing whenever I don't feel good about the market.
That where you get your humble farmer name from, or what?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's like, I guess like one strategy that I've been doing. I mean, I closed this earlier today because like the markets are looking a bit, but like I had like Ether as collateral on Aave, and then I borrowed AVAX, right? So that's my debt. And then I sold my AVAX into GLP, which is like a, you know, like what I talked about, which is like 50% stablecoins and then 50% Bitcoin and Ether. It contains a little bit of AVAX, but it's like 4%, so it's like nothing. So when AVAX went down like 30% in like the SEC candle, my debt was worth like less, but like my GLP value maintained, or it only went down a little bit. So like that delta is like my profit. So I closed that earlier today and I just like sold, or as like rotated profits into like Ether, right? I'm just like stacking ETH at this point. Right. So I guess like that's like a humble shorting strategy, I guess.
Yeah, because, it's like a synthetic short, right? I guess.
Yeah. And you're also being paid to like short, I guess, because GLP pays like 15% right now. And like to borrow AVAX, you pay like 6%. So I'm being paid like 9% to like put like this, I don't know, synthetic short position, I guess. It sounds kind of complicated, but I think if you think about it, like it's not too crazy, right? You can do this on other chains too. Like you can like use Ether as collateral, like borrow some token you don't like and like sell it, right? And then like buy it back when it's lower.
I guess you can.
Of course, you can't really like do like 10x leverage because it's like on chain and like, you know, but like as a person that like only works on chain, I think, you know, these types of hedging strategies like pretty cool. And it's only something that DeFi can allow.
Yeah, I think synthetic shorts of things is an interesting concept. So basically you're just being paid to be short AVAX, I guess. You could probably do it with Chainlink, I guess, as well.
So you can borrow Link and then sell that into the GLP.
Right.
But no, Link is down so much and like the Link Marines are super strong. So like I don't wanna short Link too far. I've never shorted Link. Yeah. I don't have the balls.
Maybe we'll go a bit broader as well. Like I know you don't just do DeFi. Like I know that's something that you've been doing for the last 12 months, but you look at things like Blur, you look across the range of different things. What are the other things you find interesting in the space? Do you own any altcoins that are away from just farming tokens or
I can talk about NFTs. Yeah. This year I'm trying to get into NFTs more. Like I farmed Blur season one. So I was like buying penguins and like little pudgies and like, I don't know, like I also bought like some things that like went to zero, but you know, like I got the Blur token. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I sold it for Ether because it's like a farm token. And I think recently I'm like super into like OPEPins. I think OPEPins are super cool. I think
a butcher fan.
Yeah. I'm buying one a week. I'm just going to DCA because I don't know, like, I don't know how to value this thing. So I'm just going to buy one a week and like the next couple of months. I think Jack Butcher is super cool.
Do you still farm on Blur though?
Oh no, I don't think it's worth farming Blur season two. I think they're going to keep pushing back like the airdrop date. They don't have an incentive to do it, right? Like,
but the token, like I said, it's how much lower?
It's like the imaginary APR.
What's that? Incentive, right? The token price going lower? What do you think?
Yeah, that's the thing too, right? It's like if Blur goes down, then there's less incentive to farm. But if people don't know when the airdrop's going to happen, then there's also less incentive to farm. I mean, it's a really good platform, right? And people use it organically. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'd rather, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to buy. When it comes to NFTs, I'm like just trying to like buy things to hold for like 6 to 12 months at least. And recently, I've been OPEPN pilled, I suppose. And I think the cool thing about OPEPNs is that like it's something that's only available like with like blockchain tech, I guess. It's like updating the metadata and like these raffle things. And like there's also this game theory aspect of like only having 200 sets. Will we ever reach 200 sets? We simply do not know. And I think NFTs like operate with like this attention span thing, right? It's like how do you remain relevant for like over a year, right? You can't just like keep having ragers and parties and like hope that people buy your PFPs. But I think the thing with OPEPNs is that like you're able to onboard more and more artists with like these different types of sets. And if NFTs become big, right, which I think we all hope, right, including myself, then I'm sure that one day, right, like some Web2 artist that wants to dive into NFTs, like, does it make sense for them to launch their own collection, or would they rather like launch some OPEPN set because they already have an audience and they already have like a user base or like a buyer base, and then I think that can actually grow the pie of NFTs. So I kind of think about NFTs in that sense. I mean, I still hold Pudgies. I do like the Pudgies.
All the fucking DeFi CT guys. Loves the Pudgies. All the DeFi guys own Pudgies.
It's CT. It's just CT.
Yeah.
Penguins.
Listen. It's like this element of like crypto native PFP is like Pudgy Penguins, right?
Like we like the fluffy birds, you know? Like we like
them. Yeah. It's so cute. Yeah.
I love that.
So do you have like a risk framework here? Like do you think about how do you think about how much you have in each bucket, like even in NFTs? Like how do you think about that so you don't get wrecked on anything? Do you have any like rules for trading or risk management?
Oh no, like I think for NFTs I'll like just hold no more than 10% of my portfolio, I guess. I don't know, like I'm not like an NFT expert. Like I focus in DeFi, so like it's like by the time I discover OPEPNs, like I know for a fact that I'm no longer early. So that's why I'm like doing the DCA strategy, because I have no idea like what the fair value of this thing is. And yeah, I'm just like, okay, like I'll allocate like up to 10% of my portfolio. And then like, if I want to buy some new NFT, then maybe I sell like my low pudgy, right? Like, maybe not add more money, like adding like new money. So like, maybe like that's like risk management. And like I don't like leverage NFTs. Like that's kind of scary. Or like do like the whole blend thing, like buy now pay later. That also sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, like I think that's kind of how people get wrecked in our space kind of a lot. Like our space has become increasingly like the DeFi space. And I don't know. It feels like a lot of these protocols are now trying to like, you know, they might take over a lot of the DeFi stuff. I know if you've looked at like NFTFi or they've got airdrop farming. I know you're big into airdrop farming as well. Is there anything like there? I'm just trying to think of different ways that the listeners here can make money over the next couple of months. And I know you're all over this.
Yeah. I actually think like people look at like the Arbitrum airdrop and they're like, oh my God, like I need to farm Starknet and like ZK Sync. I actually think that's like a waste of time. I think like I'm actually trying to airdrop farm a bunch of like NFT finance projects. Like I was in like Backed_XYZ before they shut down. And I was like, oh no, like I wanted the other coin. And then I was also farming like the Abacus WTF, but they also shut down. It's like, oh no, like they're all shutting down. I put some money in Insert Finance. It's like this, I don't know, it's like sharded NFTs or something. Like, to be honest, like, I don't really know how it works, but
I put like, a little bit of money there. This stuff, man. Like, what did you just say?
This is crazy.
Have you heard of Insert Finance? Like, hold up.
How do you spell that?
INSRT Finance. I think it's backed by a Hentai Avenger. Actually, I have no idea.
I mean, there are a few of these, right? Like, I didn't know if this is why I was trying to get into talk to you about it, because I think the NFT DeFi space is kind of converging to in many different ways. Like, there's a bunch of different.
Yeah, and I think it's inevitable, right? It's like because NFTs are like tokens with pictures, and like you can like implement like DeFi components on top of NFTs. I think, what is it? There's Instant Finance. I think there's like Spice Finance. Spice Finance. There's Asteria, which is like another lending protocol that like my friends are working on. So I think there's so many of these like NFT finance token, sorry, projects without tokens that I think just like put like a little bit of money, right? And like maybe you get some airdrop. And I literally haven't seen people like talk about airdrop farming these things. So I would think that it would be like less saturated. Whereas for like Stargate or like Layer Zero or like ZK Sync, that's like super saturated. So I think it's better to like focus on these things.
Yeah, look, I think this could be quite a big space. Like, I think that some of these tokens could be interesting. I know a lot of people are farming NFTFi right now because I think they've got like an airdrop coming up. That seems to be a thing that a lot of people are going for. It's kind of similar to Blend or like people are waiting for the Blur token. It's kind of similar for NFTFi, but it feels like that's going to be a space where people, I know, can also get absolutely wrecked at the same time. Yeah, because you get all these like rugs of the protocol.
I'm like pretty optimistic with NFTs. I think they're like one cycle behind DeFi is like my line of thinking. Of course, like they're like, I mean, DeFi tokens and NFTs have gotten like equally wrecked, I think. I mean, I guess there's like things like Pudgies and Azukis that like have held up and like, I guess, OpenSea too. But like, you know, I just feel like NFTs are become like more financialized over time. And then there's going to be like, you know, like AMMs built on top of NFTs, money markets. People are trying to build like NFT perps. I'm not sure if that model can work. There's like a bunch of problems with like how like that space is designed. But you know, like I feel like if you think that NFTs are going to like 50x in like market value, then like surely there's going to be like financial products that enable people to like, you know, have like more utility for NFTs, whether it be to like provide liquidity or borrow against or something. So I think like the winners in like NFTFi are going to be pretty big. And most of them don't have tokens, but like, you know, like probably like 6 to 12 months from now, I think most of these projects will have tokens. And then it's going to pay to like just deposit like a little bit of ETH into everything across like 5 wallets or something, pay a little bit of gas. And then, you know, like maybe one of them is like a home run, right? And you dump that token to Ether and then like buy more Pudgies or something. maybe that's a dream.
No one wants the fucking Pudgies, man.
CT loves them, bro. CT loves the Pudgies.
I know. It's crazy. I like them. It's like the first NFT that I like bought, and I was like, oh, like actually, like I'm not sure if you can see it. Like maybe the Twitter space people can't see it. But...
Oh, did you buy one?
Yeah, it's a physical toy.
No.
Oh, sick!
That feels like something you have up in the bull market, right?
I mean, for the Twitter space people, it's like the 36x36 Pudgy artwork thing.
I like that. I was actually just chatting with Luca 2 hours ago. He just helped me with something. Great people. So big fan for sure.
Definitely. It's like, yeah. There's like that meme, right? It's like when the floor price is like 1 ETH, it's like, eh. And it's like 10 ETH, it's like, wow, great art. And then 100 ETH is like Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, look at that. Like, you have ape holders, some ape people saying their art is not as nice anymore, but when they were up there, there's the most beautiful, like, art in the world. But that goes for every NFT. That's kind of the rule. Kind of want to ask you something, Takey. I mean, there's, like, a recurring theme amongst, like, the guests of Rec Radio, though I'm not usually a honorary co-host. And I'm listening to every show, man, though. It's, like, a lot of the top traders, top farmers, like, all the people you guys have gone on so far, the common denominator I've seen so far is they all have a lot of discipline. And a lot of them, whether they've gone wrecked badly or made a lot of money at some point in their life, they all have like this discipline, this work ethic that I find is very admirable and very interesting, especially playing with such huge stakes. It's easier to just blow your stack and never make it back. And it's also very hard to even make it in the first place. So kind of want to ask you like this question, Takey, that we ask everyone on the show is like, you know, how do you avoid getting wrecked?
I don't know. Like I get wrecked all the time, like I mentioned, so I still get wrecked. But I don't know. I think, I mean, first, like I don't really use leverage. I think that's important. I don't know. Like, I feel like crypto Twitter, like it's like people showcase like their biggest wins, but they never share like their losses. So people think that like leverage is good way to make money, but I mean, it could be, right? Maybe I'm like just an idiot, but like just don't use leverage. Like, I don't know, like for me, also it's like, you have to understand your own personality. It's like, if you're like more risk averse and you can't handle like 30% drawdowns, then like, you know, like you have to be self-aware and then only allocate to like, you know, even if you buy some shitcoin or like some random NFT, like maybe put up like 5% of a portfolio, maybe. I personally have like a 10% like degen stack where it's like up to 10% of my portfolio, I can like have like degen plays, and then I don't really go much above that. So I guess, you know, like maybe setting rules in place. So, you know, that like you hold onto. It's like, for me, it's like, I don't know, like I'm like super optimistic. So like, I'm generally like super long crypto. Like I sometimes like have cash and like hedge and whatnot, but I'm generally like allocated to the space. So I was like pretty wrecked in 2022. But I guess also like that means that I do well in bull markets because I like just hold things for like, you know, like I just keep holding. And you have to be okay with that, right? It's like if you're risk averse, you have to understand, okay, like maybe you're not going to catch like a crazy like 50x. But like maybe like your personality is better suited for stacking small wins over time. But if you're like, you know, if you're like max conviction diamond hands, then maybe you like have a basket of altcoins that you like, or NFTs that you like just don't care about the price, right? You just like hold. And wrecked is kind of like a state of mind, right? It's like, it's like, yes, like something might be down, but like, you know, like if you believe in the tech or like whatever, if you believe in it, right? It's like, are you really wrecked? I mean, financially, yes, but actually this is a very bad answer. Actually, you are wrecked. I am wrecked.
That's what I told myself last year. You're the mirror meme, you're not wrecked.
Yeah, like I look in the mirror, I do some therapy, and I'm like, yeah, like I'm not wrecked. And then my girlfriend's like, you're wrecked.
Girlfriend's always there to remind you you're wrecked and why you didn't take profits. I have to say I can relate to
that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like my girlfriend's like more of like a pessimist when it comes to crypto. I mean, for good reason, right? She just sees all these headlines. It's like, oh, it's like SBF is a scam and like Luna is a scam. So I think sometimes, this is also to avoid getting wrecked. I feel like when coins are going crazy, it's like you kind of lose touch of reality, right? It's like I just put like X dollars into this token. Like, I'm pretty sure it's a rug, but I'm going to buy this thing, right? And then you like go to like, I don't know, like Chipotle or something, and you look at the price of guacamole, it's like $3, and you're like, oh, like $3, like that's ridiculous. But then like when you're playing on MetaMask, you're like putting like 4, 5, 6 figures into like whatever random thing. I think it's all like, it's always good to think about like how much, like if like think about like how much money you're putting on the line sometimes, because sometimes it's like, oh, something like this PFP is like 5 ether, right? So, oh, it's like 5 ether. And then you like look at the USD value and you're like, wait, like that's like 6 months of my rent or something. And I think you just have to be aware of like the US dollar value or like whatever, like your local currency value. And I guess like try to be more humble in terms of, well, like, yeah, like, you know, like I'm putting 6 months of rent into this token. How does that make me feel, right? And then how does that make my girlfriend or boyfriend, or how does that make my dog feel, right? Or something. Think about like, yeah, like think about the dollars on the line and like what it means to you. I think it's like a good way to, you know, and if you're okay with losing a bunch of money, then like that's okay too. But just be self-aware, right? It's like, yeah, oh yeah, like the, yeah, because like I hold a bunch of like
people tap out
right now, and like what the fuck am I doing?
I think people tap out.
And like Ether too.
If they don't have that sort of, they tap out for the wrong reasons if they don't have that sort of time frame or mind frame. So I think that's really fair.